CliffCentral.com.
You ready for Friday? We're going to do a little exercise later on, try to get your day off to a good start. You know, we try to experience different stuff every Friday. It's part of what we do. You can join us. We'll tell you about that in a short while. Got some emails to get through. We got a couple of things we think you need to know about today. And some stuff that hopefully will make you smile. It's Friday. What do you got, Sia? What's on your mind this morning?
It's easy, it's breezy, it's a Friday. That's what it is. I'm really looking forward to the weekend. What are you getting up to this weekend, by the way?
I've got some friends coming around for dinner tonight.
Who's doing the cooking?
No.
Hey, you just have to iron that out first.
Don't be ridiculous. Me? Are you insane? No. The girls are going to do the cooking. So sexist.
Yo.
My house. Sexist. Yeah. At my house. Well,
you girls go to the kitchen. Us men will go to the lounge.
Ladies, you go to the kitchen and get busy with the dinner. The gentlemen should have cigars in the drawing room.
That's how it's going to work. No, I'm not going to cook. And then tomorrow, I'm thinking of going to this festival that Ben's going to.
You are really taking it seriously, then.
You know,
mentioned it a couple of times.
I think I might.
Okay.
All right, so listen. Sia says there's a woman who died on live TV. They were busy. It's not a snuff film. Don't panic.
Mm-mm.
There was some old lady, and she was being interviewed on Indian television?
Yes.
Tell me the story.
So she's 81 years old. I have to say, when it comes to dying, this is quite a dramatic way to go. Her name is Rita Jitendra. Yeah. And she is just known in India as this academic. She is a thought leader of note. Mm-hmm. And so, as usual, she was invited on a morning television show. It's called Good Morning JNK. And she was on at 8:30. They were discussing something in particular. And the joys of live television, all of a sudden, in the middle of her sentence, she paused and her head rolled back.
Yeah, she...
And that was it. Gone.
The CS showed me the video. She's sitting there.
It is so odd.
She just... Her head just... You know how if you've seen people on an aeroplane, their head kind of falls forward because obviously your head can't go back because
the
seat's
exhausted.
And you just pass out. You have... Like a fat sleep. Well, this woman's head goes back. Her eyes roll back in her head, and she's gone.
Yo.
There's no death rattle. There's no shake.
No.
There's no
too much fuss.
No, there's no drama. She doesn't like start bleeding from the eyes or anything like this. She just, boom, it's over.
The anchor of the show now had to explain what really happened, and the anchor says that she was telling us a few interesting things about her life and was looking absolutely normal, but suddenly she stopped talking and began having hiccups. So that's when we had to cut the interview to a documentary to attend to her and take her to hospital. But by that time, it was too late. She was 81 years old and was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital. Oh, and this is now what takes the story to a scarier point, because supposedly, and I guess this alludes to how wise she was or whatever the case is, a friend of hers who was in the car on the way to the studio says that this Jitendra was actually remarking and talking about a Dr. Kamal, who is a former president of India, and how he died while he was delivering a lecture back in 2015.
Yeah.
And so just as a means of conversation, like, oh my goodness, can you believe it? He was busy in the middle of a speech and then all of a sudden he died. And there you are now in the middle of your interview and you die.
Well, there are worse places to die than on live TV. I mean, it's kind of dramatic. It's a big way to go. People are talking about her.
And also, like,
what a worse.
And then the family won't have to be burdened with the question, oh, how did she die? It's like, watch TV. Yeah,
it's on YouTube.
She just died.
You know how morning television is. They try to be happy and chirpy, get your day off, start on a good note.
I would love to see those espresso presenters.
Imagine someone just dies on espresso while being fabulous.
You got all those, hey everybody, good morning, we're going to have such a great day. And then some old lady gets interviewed on there and then she dies on... They would lose their shit. I'm telling you, that show would be interesting for the first time.
But isn't there meant to be like a 4 or 5 second delay, even on live TV?
Even then. Like she died slowly, so you didn't think she was dying.
You just thought she was pausing and taking like, and...
Look at this rude old bitch just having her sleep. Meanwhile, actually dead. What a thing.
What a way to go.
Shame. Well, you know, rest in peace, old lady. What the hell? Speaking of these morning shows, and we're going to be doing some exercise later on. You remember that show called Body Beat? I don't know. Ben brought it up just now.
I just think that if you were... Okay, I was born 81. So whether I liked it or not, it was part of my DNA. I'd hear it in the background. Because back in those days, there was nothing on morning TV. Like, this is before MNET became a thing. So you had one choice. It was Good Morning South Africa, where you would... It's on SABC, the one channel. And this dude would just rock up, and he'd always be, you know, running in step kind of thing. Running.
What was his name?
I know
Phil Joffe.
Phil Joffe. I know his daughter.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, no. Wow. Friends are, I know. I mean, mutual friends and stuff. But yeah, he would always just be rounding up these women in these high... And what was it with the 80s? Like, if you wore a leotard or something, it would go right up to your hips.
Yes.
They had
those leotards. It would be in the camel toe, and then it would come all the way up to, like, way above your hip bones.
It's like the Brazilian cut. It gives the illusion of a curvier body.
But the 80s, it was so not sexy. They show way too much of the upper thigh and buttock area. I mean, if you think of what's cute now, it's a little string bikini or whatever. It just goes almost horizontally.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we're looking at an athletic thing here, Gareth. You know, just being a pervert in the morning. The idea was that we're trying to get exercise going here. It's not always about sex with you, is it?
No, I'm saying that it doesn't look very sexy.
Always looking to objectify women.
Yeah, the women are going to cook.
Down, and down. And lift. And up. And down. And down.
Listen, it's snow.
And up.
Boom, boom, down.
Yes.
And down. And what we're going to try to do now is look and up
and
then
down.
That's good. Then lift and
straight. And there's a woman there with like the only way I can describe it is a Sigourney Weaver or Jamie Lee Curtis type body. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like slightly manly.
Oh. Well, the short hair was the giveaway.
Very short hair. Shorter hair than me right now.
Yeah.
Straight spine. Good. Then lift and up. And down, and down.
This was entertaining TV for people.
Is to watch her neck position. She's not arching her neck up. That must be protected. She's looking at the floor.
All right, there we go. There he is. And here's Linda Creel doing this on the beach in Blobergstrand.
Everybody now, and pray. Nice deep breath. By the floor, to the arms. And down, and up. And pray.
Camel toe as well.
She's got the like her pant option.
That's exciting.
And of course, they had to play The Tide Is High while performing.
And someone went, "Yeah, Ricky, it's a good idea, man." But the whole thing about this was it was very good entertainment because someone said, "Guys, we're going to have music, we're going to have people outdoors, and they're going to be exercising." And they were like, "Yes, this is a jackpot." Because think back then, okay, there was no technical sort of exercise. You were either a bodybuilder who put steroids in your balls, or you did a bit of aerobics. There wasn't CrossFit, or there wasn't Pilates, and these kind of things weren't mainstream. So technical stuff and personal trainers and all the information that we have now, that didn't happen back then. So the fact that you were literally moving. Jogging on the fucking spot. That was that was a thing.
People thought that was
a thing, an actual thing. And then the music of the day as well.
Ooh, well, if you think about it, like if you were a guy, the perfect body would be like David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
You know, this barrel-chested abs weren't a thing.
Not really.
You just had to be...
You just had to be kind of beefy. Slender back in those days. You just, like, slender was the word.
I mean, slender.
Even when you hear the word slender now, like, who talks like that?
Nobody uses that word.
It's not a contemporary word anymore. You've got to be cut, ripped, swole, athletic, fit,
swole,
dynamic.
Well, we'll be finding out all about that in about 20 minutes. We'll mess around with some of that stuff. There's a thing going around about Google and their executives. There's a huge amount of groupthink in Google. There's a woman who's she's the chief financial officer of Google, and this is a recording from an actual Google meeting. I love when this stuff gets out because it shows you how inside of companies, even big, successful, supposedly smart companies like Google, people are basically filled with propaganda and nonsense. So this is their chief financial officer talking about Trump's election victory in 2016, and she pretty much breaks down in front of the meeting. She's the chief financial officer. Imagine if your boss started crying in a meeting. But listen to this. You'll hear what I mean. You decide for yourself what you think of this. This is, I think, insane, but go ahead.
8:30 p.m. on Tuesday night, I was at home with friends and family watching the election returns. And as we started to see the direction of the voting, I reached out to someone close to me who was at the Javits Center where the big celebration was supposed to occur in New York.
She means the Hillary Clinton celebration, right?
New York City, somebody who had been working on the campaign. And I just sent him a note and said, you know, are you okay? It looks like it's going the wrong way. And I got back a very sad, short text that read, people are leaving, staff is crying, we're going to lose. That was the first moment I really felt like we were going to lose. And it was this massive, like, kick in the gut that we were going to lose. And it was really painful. It did feel like a ton of bricks dropped on my chest. And I've had a chance to talk to a lot of fellow Googlers, and people have said different words, similar concept. This, how painful is it? How painful this is.
Yeah! What do you make of that? Imagine your boss talks like that about an election result. First of all, are you allowed to be that partisan? Because you imagine if you're a Trump supporter and you work at Google, how are you going to feel about your CFO talking like that? She's getting emotional on stage. And listen to the language. I reached out because I had a friend at the Javits Center and she said people are leaving, people are crying. And we didn't know what to do. We felt like we were going to lose.
Look, I'm not saying she can't do that at home, at her dinner party, at her book club.
This is in a meeting in front of staff.
I wouldn't want to see my CFO do that.
Right?
It's just unsettling.
What is that?
For lack of a better term.
But listen to that loser language. Listen to that weak,
quivering,
pathetic. It's the opposite. I mean, I know there are lots of people say, well, oh, well, that's vulnerability. But Mike, I think it's straight up weakness. This is not a woman who should be in charge of anything. And Sergey Brin, just so that you could be sure this isn't some kind of attack on women, Sergey Brin, who's one of the founders of Google, he was pretty much in tears as well talking about it. So stupid. So stupid. What does that have to do with you running your business? Google's hugely successful. The Google share price is an all-time high. Under who? President Trump? Yeah. You're crying like that. Get on with your business. Don't worry about who's in charge at the White House. You were so hard for Hillary Clinton. Come on. What's wrong with you?
How do I look at you after that? And I need to ask you for advice.
Well, how would you? You
look,
tell me.
It might just be a simple generalization, but I just can't look at you in the same light anymore. Like, why were you breaking down in front of me? I need to trust you as a leader. I need to have this confidence in you. I just think crying in general. I know it's such a generalization, but to me, crying weakness at the office, no.
It's just, I had to play it for you. All right, what else is going on?
It's just so weird. Well, in the midst of this entire Me Too movement, well, how do you exactly go, don't really care, we're moving on? Well, the Playboy Club is coming back, ladies and gentlemen.
What's that?
The Playboy Club. This is the entire chain of these exclusive gentlemen's club that Hugh Hefner famously started years ago. And now his son is bringing them back with the latest one that has just opened this past Wednesday in New York City. So his name is Cooper Hefner. Mm-hmm. And he says that with his father now gone, he is still fixated on relaunching and re-energizing the Playboy brand as a bespoke gentleman's experience. And when asked about the Me Too movement, he says that has nothing to do with what we're trying to do here.
This is unbelievable. This is fantastic. This is fantastic. I love it. Oh, I love it.
That's actually his official statement.
And look, I side with him on this. You know, to each his own. If you have a cool quarter of $1 million that you can splurge on a membership fee here, then go for gold.
Quarter of $1 million? What do you get for that?
So this is actually quite a cool package.
You get for that much money.
They dub it the Millennial Luxury Experience. So it starts from $250,000, and that means you get access to the clubs, and you also get access, which, by the way, they are, and then you get 15-night experience all over the world, wherever you may choose to go. And you also have access to Playboy's luxury private jet on your own. But if you go into...
That's the value, then.
For $250,000, and you get, I'm sure, of course, there are obvious terms and conditions.
Yeah,
but
you probably only use it on, like, February the 30th, but I mean, like, it sounds nice.
I assume it's like some sort of timeshare situation. Yeah. But for the physical clubs that you go into, there will be those iconic waitresses who don those bunny outfits, and there are good-looking male models who also serve drinks. I guess it's sort of an equality thing, you'd say. And
well, you want good-looking people working in your place. There's nothing worse than walking into a an establishment, very ugly people.
Yeah, it reminds us of ourselves. We don't want that.
Yeah, you don't go out to see yourself. Otherwise, you'd walk into a hall of mirrors.
And this new one that they've just opened this week has an exclusive spot called the Rabbit Hole.
Oh, that sounds
that's
good.
That's risque.
All right, what happens there?
Jesus. We do not know because
we know what rabbits do, don't we? And how do humans usually respond to holes? Yeah. What happens to a hole? You get some horny membership dude near the hole. What happens?
The Rabbit Hole. That was not even open up to a bunch of the people who attended on Wednesday. And interestingly enough, and she just becomes cool in my books for this, Martha Stewart went to this launch. So, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, what was Martha doing there? I don't know. But anyway, Playboy Club coming back in 2018.
All right, everybody. Well, I got some emails and some messages. You want to get to those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
First of all, Julie sent me a message. It said, Phil Jaffe now lives in Westville and instructs Pilates at the local gym. Good
what?
For him.
Still nailing it.
How old is he now? I mean, that's great. I love 64. That. Good for him.
That's my hood. I should ask around.
Michelle says, Ben, you are the best. How did she die? Watch TV. Ha, 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 Michelle.
Dan, are you laughing at your own joke, Ben?
No, yeah, she's laughing at Michelle.
I'm still laughing that woman just died. It's like a nice way to go.
Michelle, thank you very much. Dan says, if we want to remove stigma from mental illness, we should start by not calling it a condition. Yeah. Did I call it a condition? See, sometimes I use the wrong words. But you're right. I mean, we should think some more about that. It's like calling a trans person by the right pronoun.
Sorry, but what are we meant to call it?
Well, if it's a condition, then it's something you can't do anything about. If it's an illness, you can cure it.
Isn't that just semantics?
Well, no, because if you can't do anything about it, then it's a condition, then you can't change it. Then, you know, an illness is something you can change.
Okay.
Makes a difference. Well, that's what I'm taking from it. Maybe I'm wrong. Clarify, Dan, goddammit. Explain yourself. Tembi says, went to the interview and they asked me what I studied at university. Remember she went for a radio interview?
Oh, of course, yeah, how'd it go?
Yeah, well, she says she went for an interview. They asked her what she studied at university, like anyone would study anything to do with radio in this economy. Pity on their part because I'm one of the last people who care about radio. Great show, team. Keep it up. Well, let's see what happens. Tell us if you got the job. Tell us if you're employed. And then tell us what your backup plan is if you don't get the employment. All right, Tembi? We want to know.
Yeah.
Fundo and a bunch of other people are listening to us live this morning and are enjoying it. Someone says they enjoyed the premiere of the movie last night, too. This is Simplice Bo. Enjoyed the movie last night, Predator, with CliffCentral.com. Very nice.
Did you say a nice speech, sir?
I just welcome people, Ben. Oh, actually, and we also watched the movie in 3D, which made it even cooler. Ooh. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, here's another thing I wanted to read to you. This came up on Instagram yesterday. It's quite cool. Yeah, sometimes we get these comments from people. So, TF Fitspiration says, my older brother introduced me to Cliff Central in September 2014 while we were traveling from Cape Town to PE. I finally decided to download their app in 2015, and it's been a full-time thing for me since then. These guys got me from being a, this is his own words, black, self-centered, and entitled prick to being more conscious and informed through their podcasts ranging from leadership, health, sport, technology, and history. Recently, the show introduced me to other shows as well, like the 200-year-old and the masculinity podcast. That's the man-to-man conversations, which I'll tell you about in a second. And he says, the Gareth Cliff Show is my morning dose to take on every day. Thank you, guys. Moral of the story, you need to listen to cliffcentral.com unless you want to be lied to by politicians and activists. Very nice. So thanks for that, dude.
That's a great moral of the story.
And we do read and we do acknowledge every single message. So if I don't get to yours, doesn't mean I don't see it. What does it mean to be a man in today's world? Have you thought about this? Well, Craig Wilkinson and Khalil Osiris do. They think about it all the time. And they are having the conversations we all need to hear. The Raw and Authentic series of 6 podcasts provides profound insights into the way men behave and why they do that. Unpack the 3 core desires at the heart of every man. The question every boy needs answered on his journey to manhood. The 4 big lies about masculinity. What wounds the masculine heart? And the one thing that every man wants from women more than sex. Man to Man Talks is brought to you by Carling Black Label. Drink responsibly. It's not for sale to persons under the age of 18. And you can get that and all the episodes on cliffcentral.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look up Man to Man.
What is that one thing, Gareth?
You got to listen, Ben. I'm not going to tell you.
All right.
You want one more email?
Yeah, they're always good.
All right, so this is from...
Otherwise, I was going to tell you that Cape Town's even more smug because now they know that the best drivers, apparently. Well, before we get to this email, now, credit where credit's due. You know, Discovery are trying to make life better for people, and they're trying to do things that make you fall into the more responsible citizen category. So this whole vitality thing they've got going, obviously now you can put it onto your driving, you get points for that kind of stuff.
That's their insurance app.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they've got data which they've shared, and Cape Townians come out best. So they're also seen as the people who exercise the most, no doubt, because they've got the promenade and Instagram, so there's a huge amount of pressure for them to get out there. But also, yeah, they are the best drivers. PE are second, Bloemfontein are third, Joburg are fourth, Pretoria fifth, and Durban sixth.
How embarrassing for Durban and Pretoria.
Bear in mind, of course, these are just people with the app.
Okay, so, but that gives you a fair sample.
It's still a decent sample of who's doing what on the roads in Cape Town. Again, they are the best, actually.
That's interesting. Well, you know, that app is very sensitive. It picks up your stopping speed.
Yeah.
It picks up the way you change lanes. Everything. If you pick up your phone while you're driving, it registers that.
Yeah.
So in other words, any unsafe behavior in the car, this app is onto you. So it's actually a pretty good way of monitoring people's driving. I mean, it does feel like you've got the driving instructor in the car with you the whole time. And that's why a lot of people don't like it. But I think if you drive carefully and you're responsible and you do all the right things, you actually get your insurance premiums knocked down. That's clever.
Look, there's also the reality that over 14,000 people die on our roads every year, which costs the economy about $178 billion.
Yeah, it's stupid, right? Don't need that. I saw an accident happen in front of my eyes yesterday. I was crossing Catherine Street in Sandton, and I was waiting at the robot, and this guy in a polo came through the intersection. I don't even know what he hit, but you just hear this crunch of metal, and you just see stuff spraying across. There's glass, and I don't know if someone was hurt. I mean, someone must have been hurt, even if it's just whiplash, but what a thing to see. And it all happened so fast. I don't even know who or what he hit, but it was ugly. I always get that. You get that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach. You know what I mean?
Oof. Yeah.
Oof.
Never pleasant.
Mm-mm. So we've all got to pay attention. But there we go. Best drivers are in Cape Town. Now they can be even more full of themselves.
Well, they have to be. In order to be full of yourself, you've got to be doing a whole bunch of things, healthy things, and monitoring it and then being smug about it and telling people.
Well, it balances out. The crime stats came out. Yeah, Cape Town, you have your fair share of crime. So, yeah, hop on about this for a while. It's a good balance.
So someone sent this email to me. Hey, Gareth and team, I've been listening to the Gareth Cliff Show on and off for about 2 years now. And this became more frequent when that Duis called Eusebius Mackayser started. What a poor excuse for a human being. Anyway, I don't know about that, but there we go. Anyway, just wanted to pop in and say I love your show. Also wanted to say I've been in the Sachsenwald Schabin.
Oh, wow.
I was there in 2006. It's another world in there. I happen to be best friends with one of the sons. At that age, grade 6, I understood that they owned a company called Sahara, and that was about it. The son had a different surname. I think he took the mother's surname, so for a while, I didn't realize whose house I was actually in.
Wow.
Also, when he came to my house, bodyguards had to come in and search the house before he could come in. Crazy times, anyway. Keep up the good work. Don't need to answer this next part. Okay, well, I've got to answer it.
Hang on a second. Bodyguards are ready at that stage.
Yeah.
That says a
grade
lot.
Grade 6.
2000. What did they say?
He was in grade 6. So how old are you then? You what?
12?
12.
Yeah.
11, yeah, and 12. At 12 you don't really understand what's going on, nor will you ask.
Could you please, this is the part he doesn't want me to answer, or I don't need to answer. Could you explain how you're able to keep the show up and running with hardly any ads? Aside from sponsored features, it boggles my mind. Well, those sponsored features are the new way that advertising is done. People who are playing... When last did you listen to an advert on radio? You don't. People switch channels while that's on. It's the most ineffective way of getting anything done. Here, we create content. That's what we do. And people pay us for that. That's the business. And more, we're doing these series which don't even have anything to do with the live stuff. And the series are what people are interested in. Because you can go in, let's say, for example, you want to listen to Discovery Smart Money series, right? Mm-hmm. So Discovery want to help you to manage your finance better. You can listen to that series. Pay us to help them make the content. It's brilliant. We want to do quality stuff. People who are interested in how to manage their money will come and listen to that. We don't have to try and appeal to everybody. You appeal to the people who are interested in the money. It's the way to go. So there's the answer to your question. And he says, would love to call in sometime and tell you more about my Gupta experiences. I can't wake up early enough, though. Usually only start listening to part one at 7:30. Yeah. Well, that's fine. Call in one. Send us a voice note.
Or just pop us an email. Email's also good.
Yeah, we like that. So there's an insider in the Sachsenwald Schabin who listens to us. Cool stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody's been talking about Serena for the last little while. Apparently, Naomi Osaka was on Ellen, Ben.
Well, you got to think, Ellen's like, right, we're going to just take the PR here. This poor girl has been given a rough ride. Obviously, she goes on to Ellen. Now it's like Naomi Osaka's like, finally, I can be acknowledged as this champion.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm always fascinated at how Ellen spins things because, of course, she has to be the happy, smiley, daytime person. I'd love to know how the whole thing gets addressed or not addressed.
All right, let's listen to this.
I didn't try to focus, so I tried to do that, but in my mind, I was sort of, like, I really wanted to know what was going on.
You didn't know what was going on?
No.
Because you couldn't hear?
Yeah, I couldn't hear, and I was looking away, but I heard a lot of people in the crowd making noises, and I really wanted to turn around, but I didn't. So.
Yeah, yeah. So you're wondering what the people are making noises for, and you're just turning around, which is what you're supposed to do. Well, first of all, everyone is saying, and you know you deserve to win. You were playing an amazing match. I mean, you were just, your level of play was incredible, and people are calling you like a young Serena. That's... You're playing like that. And when you were receiving the trophy, there was a lot of booing in the crowd. And then Serena leaned over and said something to you. What did she say to you?
What do you think she said?
Girl, you're good. So, you know.
No, she said, like, that she was proud of me and that I should know that the crowd wasn't booing at me. So I was really happy that she said that.
But you knew the crowd wasn't booing at you, right? They were just booing the whole situation.
Oh, bullshit. Who were they booing then?
The situation, Gareth.
Crap, Ellen. You're not reading the story.
Ben, help me here.
If a crowd's booing, aren't they booing at someone?
Yeah, the umpire. And henceforth, the situation he created, that's what they're booing.
They were booing her because she beat Serena.
I don't think so.
Was just right. Did you?
She's so
did
anti-woman
you think
today.
No, at the time I did kind of think they were booing.
Oh
at
no.
Me.
You see, she even thought
I couldn't tell what was going on because it was just so loud in there.
Right.
So It was a little bit stressful.
Yeah, I saw when you pulled the visor over your eyes when they started booing, I could see that you were getting very emotional. When you were sitting on I wanted to ask you, so you had a towel over your head after you won and you were sitting down. Were you texting? What was going on under that towel? I saw something happening under the towel. What were you doing? Were you knitting? What were you doing?
No, I was reading what I should say just in case.
Oh, okay.
For my speech, because I'm not very good at talking.
So. Yeah. Gee, you seem so outgoing and boisterous. Well, you're awesome. I mean, you're amazing. And I have questions because people know that you're a great tennis player. So I want to know your favorite color.
Oh, Jesus.
Black. All right.
She's gone for the favorite color.
Now, this
interview's terrific.
Now, this is what I find funny, okay? Because sexism's at the core of this whole thing. So now you get your chance to go onto a talk show. Equality, women should be respected, blah, blah, blah. First question, what's your favorite color?
That is so unbelievably boring. Ellen should be embarrassed. Is this what television is?
Yes, Gareth, this is what television is.
This is what
your favorite... I thought she was kidding. I can't believe I've just heard that. Hang on.
Well, you're awesome. I mean, you're just...
You're just amazing. So far, I'm hearing hot air being blown up assholes, all
amazing.
Right?
And I have questions because people know that you're a great tennis player, so
right.
I want to know your favorite color.
Oh.
Black.
Black, all right. I should have known that. Favorite TV show?
Right now, The Office.
Come on!
Women's rights.
This is appealing to the bulk of...
It's not appealing. Nobody cares about anyone else's favorite color ever.
They're just trying to get into people's hearts. That's it.
No one has ever gone, well, on the basis of that color answer, I'm giving you a job. Or, you've just made yourself a friend instead of an enemy because you chose red. No one has ever made an important decision in the history of the universe about someone's favorite color. Unbelievably puerile. Am I being too hard on Ellen?
No, let's see what else she's got.
No,
office?
But...
You're catching
office.
Up on The Office? All right. What season are you in?
Oh, Mike. These questions just get better and better. Ellen has... You know, Ellen has a team of 200 or 300 people on this show with her.
Some of which are no doubt creating questions.
They write. She has writers. She has a team of writers.
And this isn't her winging it. They have rehearsals beforehand as well.
They have a rehearsal. They've got the guest there. The guest knows what's coming up.
But what else are you expecting from her? See, that's the question.
As Ben says, there are so many contentious questions around. This is the first time this Naomi Osaka has been interviewed about the situation. Probably the most... You know, controversial situation on a tennis court for a long time.
For a long time, yeah. Mm.
You're talking about Serena Williams. You're talking about women's equality. You're talking about being booed at by a crowd. She touches on that, sure, and I'll give her credit. She did go there, mm-hmm. which is the reason anyone would tune into this. But then why keep her there and ask her these stupid things? Get rid of her. If she's got no personality, and it seems that maybe that's the reason that Ellen's going to these questions, maybe because there's nothing else, like Naomi Osaka might be the most boring human being that's ever lived, in which case, don't ask her these questions. I would much rather see Ellen pull people out of the crowd and ask them something. She's got an interesting crowd of people there, some like divorcee from Florida who's got a story about her husband. I mean, this is the best her writers could come up with. You're watching The Office? Oh, The Office? Which season are you in?
Season 7.
Okay, good. Favorite singer?
Notice, even the audience has stopped clapping.
They have. They just...
And that audience will clap like banshees for anything. If you threw a milkshake on the stage, they'd go, oh, wow, Ellen! These are some of the dumbest people in the whole of America that go to these talk shows.
Singer Beyonce.
Beyonce. Celebrity crush. Come on, you can make it happen. You're very famous now.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but he was in Black Panther, but he was the villain.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Do you want me to text him right now?
No.
I will. Seriously, someone get my phone. I'm going to text Michael, and I'm going to tell him that he should meet you?
No. I'm okay. Thank
All right.
You.
Well, I'm just trying to help.
Trying to make a show. She's quite boring.
She's 20, which isn't an excuse
instance.
Because that's still an adult.
Well, Ellen's good, but man, that's not great. I didn't even know we were going to hear this stuff when I started playing this clip, but man, we break this down, it's horrible. Okay, let's move on. We've got stuff to do here. We're going to do some fun stuff this morning. We do every Friday, we try to experience things. We've done drinking, we've done hubblies, we've done waxing, we've done hot sauce. What else have we done?
Coffee.
Right.
So morning, now we're becoming better people this morning.
Yeah, we're trying to improve. You know, if the whole point is that you got to, if you listen to us, you want to do things with your life. You want to go somewhere, you want to make things happen. So the founder and the CEO of Performable, that sounds fun, it's a fun, effective, affordable exercise routine based on, well, you know those stability balls?
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Got my dad one once for Christmas, and he looked at me like I'd given him a disease.
Oh.
He's like, what am I going to do with this? I said to him, you won't believe what you can do with this. And you want to do this because it relies on balance.
Mm.
Largely, it relies on your core strength. You need that. Can only be good for you. We've got them here in the office. We let our guests sit on them rather than on chairs if they want to.
Mm.
And that's pretty cool. So he hosts corporate stability ball classes, provides a platform for regular team building sessions where employees can interact with each other in a relaxed atmosphere, and started Performable in Joburg in 2005. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our show this morning, Yossi Montrose, who is a trainer and he is the founder and CEO of Performable. Yossi, nice to have you here, man. Are you comfortable? Are they looking after you?
Yeah, they are. Thanks, Gareth.
All right, nice very good. Here. Nice to see you. So, you started this back in 2005.
That's correct.
That was before it was a thing. Ben and I were talking about exercise and how, like in the 80s and even the early 90s, exercise consisted of either you were a power lifter or you were an aerobics type person. You would do those dance classes.
Aerobics housewife.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has changed.
That's true, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's definitely changed. If you look at trends, it's begun more movement, balance training.
Yeah. And people want to be fit. And they don't just want to be fit. They want to be really fit. Like, people want to look a certain way. Is this the first time in human history that most of the population feels this way?
It probably is because of the static living and the sitting on chairs all day, and you're not used to movement. So I'm sure that's a big reason. Before, we were always moving. So nowadays, we live such a static life.
We used to have to hunt our food.
Yeah, exactly.
We used to have to run away from other people with spears. We used to...
Now we just
animals.
Now we just hunt the traffic jam on our way to the drive-thru.
And sit in the car all day, sit at work, come and sit on the couch, and go to sleep.
And that's why people look so terrible in some ways. I mean, there are people who are trying to improve themselves, and they're the ones who come to you and who go to gym and try to do what they can. But we've never really understood exercise the way we do now. There's more information than ever before. There are more options than ever before, right?
Definitely. What's on the market, it's become huge amounts of different types of functional equipment, different types of movements. It's endless. It's a progression that never ends, like in terms of finding your balance, finding your core, learning how to actually move your body and control your body. A lot of people don't even have any body awareness. So they might go to the gym and do weights, and they're not going to really know what their body is. So they could get injured because they pick up something a little differently because they're not aware. And
you often see people, they'll exercise one muscle group and then they're out of balance. And what will happen is that the minute they use the other muscles, there's such an imbalance that they end up pulling something and they end up having major problems.
Definitely. And it's a mind-body connection, which needs to be. A lot of people at the gym, normally they have their headphones on and they're looking at videos and they're not really in it properly. They're not focused. They mind somewhere else. They're thinking about other things. They just want to go through the motions and get it done. And it causes more of an imbalance as you go on doing that and eventually causes injury. With my type of training, you actually have to be focused and present and actually strengthen the mind-body connection.
So how did you get into this?
Well, I had lower back problems pretty much all my life. I had shoulder issues, I had knee problems, and I didn't feel good. Like at 20, you should want to feel good.
How old are you now?
I'm 38.
Okay. So 20 years old, you've got all these problems. You're a wreck.
Pretty much.
You shouldn't be like that at 20.
Definitely not.
Your body's elastic. You should be able to sort out any injuries, you know, make it all go away, do a bit of exercise, feel good about yourself, have some energy, not be out of breath the whole time, not be sore. No one should be sore at 20.
For sure. And look, I mean, kids these days, the amount of kids going to OT and going to physios, it's actually very scary.
Is it? I don't know, because I don't spend a lot of time around kids, but okay, I'll take your word for it.
It's actually a lot of kids these days, they don't live an active lifestyle. They sit in front of their iPads and video games.
Are they obese?
A lot of them are, unfortunately. It's not like the old days where you used to go outdoors and play, you know.
Also, people used to mock fat kids once. Stop them being fat.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that anymore, right?
You can't. Everything.
All right, so tell me about how you got into like training and how you started, especially with performable. But let's get into how you fixed your own body first.
Yeah, so I had all these issues, and I tried different forms of exercises, and although I felt a little bit stronger, I never really, you know, felt better, and I wanted to feel better on the inside. And I actually came across a ball at the gym, and initially I thought it was just fun, and I just continued with it, and I didn't realize that my back issues started disappearing. I woke up one day, I thought, hold on, you know, where's my back pains gone? Where's my shirt? You know, I'm
a standing straighter.
Yeah, definitely. I felt more energetic. I felt better. Like my knee issues gone, my shoulder issues gone, my posture better.
And you just figured this out on your own?
It was a bit of a trial and error in the beginning. Yeah, so and then I started researching and I started getting more into it and I started doing online courses and I started studying it. So after 2 years, I said, hold on, okay, this is, you know, what I did for myself. I could definitely help other people. And like,
and you didn't have any fitness background or any deep desire to become like a trainer or anything?
No, not at all. I was always into sports. I liked sports, but I was always in pain, and I didn't enjoy that feeling.
No, who would?
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of people hankering for some pain.
No, yeah, definitely. But you see how many professional sports people are in so much lower back pain, and that's a sad reality.
Listen, I mean, you said it yourself just now. It's our lifestyles if you're an ordinary person, but those athletes put themselves through hell sometimes.
Yeah.
They aren't training right all the time, right?
Well, there needs to be more of a sustainable way of training with them as well. It's very imbalanced type of training, very extreme because they have to, which I understand. They've got to, you know, get to these certain fitness requirements.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they're ignoring their small stabilizers and their core, a lot of them, and they need to start being more imbalanced. So when their careers are over, they need to start looking after themselves, because when the careers are over, then what then, you know?
Well, they become super sport presenters, and that only lasts a season until people figure out they're boring. Tell me about the core. Like, what is this? Because I hear people banding this around. This is your, what, abdominal area?
Okay, so the core is, a lot of people think it's a six-pack muscle, you know, they want to do a few sit-ups. You know, it's all your center. So, you know, it includes your deep transverse abdominal muscles, all those psoas muscles. It goes right through your lower back, your groin, your quads even, your glutes, all part of your core.
But basically from knees up to what, throat?
So more abdominals, you know, low abdominals to, say, quads, which is your midsection, your engine of your body.
Quads are the upper legs, right?
Upper legs are the lower glutes.
Right, sure. Okay, and then ass comes into that as well, and back.
Definitely.
So all of that is important, because that's where your balance comes from, that's where you're able to generate most of your stability from, all that kind of thing, right?
For sure, like the tailbone, definitely.
Okay, so we've got more or less the right idea. I was just wondering if I was 100% right there. So what do you find is people's biggest problem? What are they doing wrong? And what is the most important breakthrough you've made in terms of helping people with, because I've seen these balls in the gym, and you see people, some people look like they really know what they're doing. Other people look like they're messing around. Help me understand.
Yeah, so a lot of people, I mean, they see the ball, they're not sure what they do, they're a bit intimidated, or they see classes, you know, and generally it's older people, right? And they're doing basic exercises with the ball, not really using the ball as such, but actually lifting the ball up and down. And they think, how the hell could I get fit from this? It's not for me. I'd rather hit hard with the weights or heavy cardio. And they just completely put it aside, and that's why you see most gyms, the balls are just sitting there, lying there, and never being used.
Is this good also because at the same time as you're doing resistance and stuff, you're also getting to stretch?
It incorporates everything. So it really encompasses using all your body muscles, stretching, cardio, fitness, HIIT workouts. You name it. And in terms of workouts you can actually do on the ball, it's actually insane.
Okay, can you show us, use Sia as the first test case here?
I'm the Amor Vittoni of the Good Morning South Africa.
We're going to be recording Sia. So let's,
good morning.
You can see Sia, he's slim. He's probably got pretty good balance, but he's
slender.
Yeah,
he's not sleek.
But you're not. He's not imbalanced necessarily.
But I don't have great upper body strength if we're going to need to.
And you're also looking a bit fat today.
Don't say that when I've had to unbutton my top jean button this morning. Okay.
See, it goes in shops in the kids section.
No, but I do buy jeans that are two sizes smaller than me as motivation to fit into them.
Is that why you're out of breath all the time?
All the time.
Squeezing his core to death. All right, let's go. Come on, show him something here. What are you going to teach us?
So what are you going to do for upper body? So
all right, let's just get one of these microphones closer there. There we go. All right, talk to me.
For upper body, what you're going to do, you're going to do some push-ups. You want
to... Come on, Sia.
You don't even have to do push-ups.
On the ball.
On the ball. So all you do is just hold it like this and see how it looks.
If you says you all you do.
Pass me one of those.
Okay, yeah. Let's
try this. I'm gonna give it a go.
He says,
and I'll try to describe to you what I'm doing. I'm gonna probably screw this up.
All you do when your posture has already.
Your hands on the side of a ball.
All right, on the side, like.
Yeah,
like,
not too. Not different. Yeah, perfect. Get your back straight.
All right, there. Like that.
Engage your core. Yeah, and then go down to a push-up. There we go.
Hooray.
Oh.
Pretty good. So now you can. That's.
And you got to balance at the same time. Balance. It's bloody hard. I'm just worried I'm going to slide off the ball. You could injure yourself.
You could if you don't know what you're doing, but anything.
Let me show you one thing. I used to have a trainer. She was an absolute bitch from hell, but she taught me a couple of things. So look at this quickly.
Do you have
this
enough space there?
Yeah, this is a great ab exercise she taught me. So, Ben, you can explain what I'm doing.
Or Sia, you try.
Okay.
So she told me to do this.
Okay, he's getting onto the floor.
Okay, so I put that between my legs like that.
Oh, yeah, the ball between his legs. Like oh, got it. So
I know what you're talking about.
And then obviously do that again.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a lot. Okay, so you were on the floor, you had the ball between your feet, and you were lifting the ball up and passing it onto your hands. So it's kind of just passing the ball between your legs and your arms. But it is working like your core, your...
I don't know, so it's an abdominal exercise.
It's definitely abdominal exercise, low abdominal as well that comes into it.
Yeah, and it's hard. If after the 12th one, you start, feeling it.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Yeah, that's right. But then that's also more static, So the ball allows you when you start
Movement. You move around on the ball.
Definitely. You're doing more movement, free range. So it's, as you say, is it safe? It's very safe. There's no impact on your body. So... the amount of benefit you're getting and with zero impact, it's insane. So, you can be doing your abs so much more effectively while moving and having fun at the same time instead of doing one static exercise and finding, this is hard and this is painful and this is boring.
Right.
So, that's
okay. Well, what are we going to do? Are you going to hang around a little while and show us in the office what to do here?
Yeah, I'll give you a bit of a kick-ass core workout, definitely.
Very nice. Okay. Ooh, well, nice to meet you, Yossi. Good to see you. This is part of our little Experience Fridays. We're going to do a couple of videos, and maybe you want to learn how to do the same stuff. Ben, you've tried this stuff, right?
Yeah, these ball things are really good, and obviously people try sitting them during the day as well.
Yeah.
But what I love about this kind of stuff, you take dumbbells, you can get a great chest exercise. So you use that as your bench. You use that as your chair for bicep stuff. So the whole time, no matter what you're doing, it goes back to using your core as well. Because lower back stuff, as you get older, everything you said now, it's debilitating. I know in winter I wake up with my aching back, and it's terrible. I got to wash my face in the basin and
Why is the lower back so pisswiddly and weak?
Well, because it's lack of movement. So, sitting down has become like the new smoking. It's a trend. So sitting for 8 hours a day is actually very dangerous. There's no blood flow. Sure. So I get people sitting on the ball using, you know, at their desks, at their offices. So at least, you know, the bounce, you know, you can actually bounce. You're getting a bit of blood flow and you're losing a bit of weight at the same time. You're naturally going to be moving. So that causes your blood flow to go. There's less risk of disease, you know, and it's all sorts
like
of different.
The circulation thing. People forget about that. 100%. Something as simple as blood flow.
And getting your core, just even getting your core back.
So this is all you do, and you have a whole lot of clients, and you show them how to do things on the ball. That's incredible. You've niched this.
Yeah, pretty much. I've done that. I've developed I've created over 2,000 exercises. Like I've gone really advanced, doing some handstands on the ball, jumping from two to two.
Okay, we got to film that stuff. That I want to see.
I've got it's all on my Instagram videos. Jeez.
Okay, well, what's your Instagram handle?
It's Yossi_Montrose and
YOSSI_MONTROSE.
That's right.
Right.
And I post daily videos on my crazy workouts.
That's good. Are you super fit? You must be. You look pretty damn fit.
Fit is, you know, I want to be healthy and I want to feel good inside. So being fit is a very broad term. And if you tell me to run a marathon, I'm not going to be able to run a marathon at the moment.
Please, I couldn't even run a tenth of a marathon, so don't worry.
So there's different ways of fitness, but yes, I feel good. I can move. I can, you know, and so I'm relatively fit. I'm healthy.
But it's also being like a functional kind of fit. You don't have to be a marathon runner unless you love running. Like, if you want to be fit for being better you, this is the best kind of stuff to get into. Unless you...
No.
People forget this, that we as humans need to be better humans, okay? If you want to be a triathlete, whatever, that's because of a triathlete thing. The best functional fitness is this kind of stuff. This is
right.
What keeps you young and moving. And, yeah, it all comes back to the core.
You hit it on the nail, exactly.
Thank you very much, Ben.
You're welcome, Gareth.
That's why we keep you around.
Yeah.
Occasionally, he gets these really incisive thoughts that cut through the crap. But Yossi, it seems like you're cutting through the crap too. Keep doing the good work. That is Yossi Montrose. He's the founder and CEO of Performer Ball, and he's going to be hanging around with us today, teaching us how to do stuff around the office that will keep us fit, and maybe we can let you in on those tips, and you'll figure out a way to do it yourself. You know, we want you to be in the same mood.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks.
All right, dude. Nice to see you. Yeah. Cool. All right, so we're going to keep him around, see if we can get our staff, our useless, lazy staff.
why didn't Sia do all that kind of stuff? I left the room for 20 seconds. I come back and you're doing push-ups.
Yeah, well, please. I felt like Sia was he was trying to get George Meany on the line. So let's go to George, see what's happening there. George, you seem to miss out on the fun ones and end up here for the dangerous ones. It's a Friday morning, and we're going to check in with George Meany, the CEO of Auto Trader, for a little a look into what is going on in the world and the lifestyle of motoring. And he's here online on Skype this morning. Hey, George.
How's it, Gareth?
What's happening, man?
The traffic tells me that our technical recession is not a problem.
Yeah, what is going on? Yesterday, I couldn't believe how quiet the roads were at 5 this morning. It's chaos again, so I don't know what's
chaos.
Going on.
I left at the normal time this morning, and the traffic was standing probably about three times further than it usually does, and that's when I called Sia. I said, listen, I'm not going to even try and navigate this.
All right, so what do you got for us this morning?
Well, you know probably that it was announced that South Africa is in a technical recession for the first time in 9 years because of the devaluation of the rand, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And while everybody's doom and gloom a little bit at the moment, this could actually be a benefit to the automotive industry because we export around 384,000 units in the next year and an exported 340,000 units in the last year. With the devaluation of the rand, that's a good thing for the economy. It's not a bad thing. People seem to always look at all the doom and gloom.
Yeah. Well, tell us, I mean, that's impressive, but you say we export these things straight out. That's profit to us. If we're manufacturing, that's exactly the area we should be involved in.
So exactly. Why aren't people
talking about this more?
Well, we're trying to. I think there's more negative sentiment than there's positive sentiment. So I'm trying to bring the positive news. BMW, Ford, Isuzu, Mercedes-Benz, Nissan, Toyota, and Volkswagen all build cars here.
Nice.
And because they build cars here, We export to other countries in the world. In fact, vehicle exports in the last year rose 7.7% in August.
Jeez, that's incredible. What good news?
It's good news. It's not bad news. And then the other thing that's positive in the country and all off the back of the automotive industry is that component manufacturers also export. So it's not only about cars. It's also about the components of those cars. As a matter of fact, catalytic converters in South Africa generate 18.7 billion rands worth of value in a year.
That's incredible.
As an export.
What is a catalytic converter again? Talk to me like I'm an idiot.
It takes the harmful gases out of the exhaust or the emissions of the car.
Okay.
And
that's where we use the platinum, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. So there's another benefit, for those who think that the world is coming to an end, and that is there's a unique opportunity at the moment for car buyers. Anybody that's in the market for a car today needs to go out and start having a look at a used car. And the reason is because our data shows that when new car prices increase, used car prices increase about 6 months later. So you have a marker, you have an indicator. So if new car prices increase in the next 2 months by 10%, chances are it's going to take about 6 months for used car prices to catch up. Okay. So you've got a six-month window to actually get into a good priced car.
Ha! Now there's some useful info. Put that one in the financial planning.
Exactly. And the area of the market that's really hurting at the moment from a used car and new car perspective is the upper end cars. Those cars over 500,000 rand. You could get a really, really good high end car for a good price. In the market today, because those are the cars, that's the part of the market that's hurting.
Well, that is useful. So you and I are going to have to talk about that, because I'm sure that there are lots of people who are currently thinking about cars in that area. Maybe next week we should actually have a discussion around what cars we should be looking at. I mean, particular models, makes, years, kind of thing.
Yeah, George, I want to hear your top five picks for less than, like a certain price bracket. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, I'll prepare that. And then next week we can talk about the top five and why.
Yeah, this is helpful. People need to know. You've got to save some money somewhere, right?
Exactly. Okay. Another couple of tips to tighten your belt is purchase used cars instead of new. Buy down. Often people are passionate about buying a car and you buy with emotion. Buy down. And then the other thing is hang on to your car for another 6 to 12 months. It won't hurt. Nothing's going to change in your life in 6 to 12 months if you just hang on to your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people often, we regard the car as being a part of our personality and extension of our feeling about ourselves. So if you have a car that you don't particularly like, it makes you feel like you're not great.
Exactly.
If you're driving.
Exactly. But another 6 to 12 months won't hurt. And the automotive industry in South Africa contributes about 7% to GDP. So the automotive industry is not going anywhere, because South Africans really have to rely on cars because of no transport network.
Correct. Okay.
On to some technology news. Volvo is developing a Volvo 360C. It's a concept at the moment. It's a fully autonomous car, but they want to build this car with no steering wheel, pedals, or dashboard.
How's it going to work?
It's going to be fully autonomous and run by the computers on the car. Their vision is to try and disrupt the short-haul flights. So if you've got a one-hour flight to take, and you can do a trip overnight, they want to build the car so that it can have a bed in it and you can sleep while you drive overnight and get to your destination the next morning.
Well, that would be cool, especially if you were in some country where the roads are good and you don't have to worry about too much in terms of complicated terrain.
Yeah, Europe.
Well, George, do you really think that we're going to be able to trust a car enough to fall asleep and just let the car take you there?
I think it's a long way off, Gareth. And the reason is because of the transition of having fully autonomous cars 100% of the road has to happen before that safety takes place. Even if you've got a human being behind a wheel, that human being is going to make mistakes, and the autonomous car might not be able to read all those mistakes. So therefore, the human being has to get out of the car entirely in order for this to work.
Well, I was listening to Elon Musk talking about this the other day, and he also brought up something I hadn't thought about, that all the cars that we currently have are assets, they have value, and it'll take them 20 to 25 years to all come off the road anyway, because why would people just take a perfectly valuable thing and a thing that has, you know, some kind of monetary worth and just remove it from the economy, just take it and put
exactly.
it, you know, throw it away, basically. Yeah. There's no reason for people to do that. So it's going to take 20 to 25 years for us to get all the gasoline and diesel cars off the road anyway.
Yes, exactly. So that has to happen in order for your question to be answered.
Right.
When can it become 100% safe? And that is when the human being is no longer in control.
So we mentioned earlier this morning, I didn't want to pip you to the post, but that VW are going to stop making the Beetle. But do we really care? Ben brought up the fact that this Beetle was, the revamped Beetle never really took off. You know,
if you
look at what Mini did, Mini made the new Mini something really beautiful, made it something very exciting. It created a brand value there. The new Beetle was shit.
Yeah, but I mean, even the Mini didn't do as well as its predecessor. You know, Mini sales in the country are not where expectations thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those cars, that are trying to revive them, didn't really work. You know, you've got to go on to new and better things. It's, you know, it's nice to reminisce, but it doesn't always mean that it's fit for purpose for now.
All right. Well, that's useful information. What else did you want to throw in?
Well, lastly, on the Formula One front, this I didn't see coming. Kimi Raikkonen is leaving Ferrari.
There was a lot of noise on the social media this week about that.
So he's a one-time world champion. He won for Ferrari. And he's leaving at the end of this year. So, he's going to Alpha to Sauber, and Charles Leclerc, which is a Frenchman, is coming to drive for Ferrari alongside Sebastian Vettel. Now, I don't know. Again, you know, last week we spoke a little bit about Ferrari's strategic moves.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this is the best thing that they've done. You know, I get the sense that Vettel's a really good driver, but he makes some stupid mistakes. And now they've chosen somebody that I don't know if he's proven himself. If I was Ferrari, I would have rather gone for somebody like Daniel Ricciardo or even Verstappen. You know, they'll be able to give Vettel a go. And if they can give Vettel a go, the entire Ferrari team wins. I don't know if Leclerc will give him a go.
All right. Controversy.
Controversy.
All right, George. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Good. We'll catch up with you next week.
Cheers, Gareth. Have a good weekend.
Awesome. And don't forget to listen to Auto Central on a Monday on cliffcentral.com live, 9 o'clock. Or you can catch up on the podcasts like you can with everything. Just go to cliffcentral.com.
Now you can't stop bouncing.
I'm bouncing on the bouncing ball. I think I'm going to do this for every show from now on. It's going to drive me and you and everybody else crazy.
And just ever so slightly nauseous as well.
No, I don't mind that. Oh. All right, very good. Yeah, let us know if you've got any feedback. You want more, you want less of something. You know how to get hold of us. Gareth@cliffcentral.com. You can WhatsApp us. 0797482090. And you can always call us as well, 0861-555-189. Thanks for joining us this morning. It is Friday. It is the weekend.
Let us know, let us know, let us know.
Oh, no, but you can't start singing those kind of Christmassy things yet. It's only September.
You just said let us know and reminded me of that.
Thank you. Cabello and Danny Kay stopped by to talk to us not so long ago. They wanted to talk about Shout and Chrome. But they also wanted to talk about
what
their single
talk about?
Shout and Chrome. And by the way, I just, you know, Vinny Lingham in San Francisco is a friend of mine. Vinny is the founder of Civic, and he's a real success story, South African digital pioneer in so many ways. Mm. So he's a friend of mine on Facebook, and I saw he had his car broken into in San Francisco, the Crom.
Oh, the Crom is everywhere, but
tell you what. So if you're thinking about how bad the Crom is here, it's just as bad in San Fran, bro.
Ha, my name is Mark.
No, what? Who's Mark?
Yeah, I didn't want to say people's names.
All right, thanks.
You want to stop Crom. Yeah. SMS, Crom.
That's right. You can listen to that interview next. Loads of good stuff today. Don't forget, Casper De Vries is back, and he and Kent are ambassadors for Bravecto, which is very exciting because I was worried about Casper's tick and flea problem, not so much Kent's problem. But, you know, you have one of those Bravectos. It sorts you out for 12 whole weeks. So now we have a solution to that problem. All right, we will see you on Monday between 6 and 9. Here's the un-news. Are you ready? Yes. Big stories today. The State Capture Inquiry has asked Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma to provide his side of the story. Speaking through his team of lawyers, he said, sure, but how much time do you have? The biggest petrol price hike in history is approaching. Could be as much as 1.12 rand a litre. Something like that will rock an already unstable South Africa. That's a hell of an increase. Things are getting so bad that failed racehorses are no longer getting made into dog food. Instead, they're becoming cart horses as society slowly moves back to Voortrekker transportation. And South African rugby fans are bracing for a thrashing tomorrow at the hands of the All Blacks. Nothing new, of course. Bok fans knew that this would be the drill at this stage. It starts off with waking up, not wearing the team's jersey, finding popular opinions to jump on Twitter, and then blaming Elton Jankies. That is then followed with binge drinking and bemoaning how transformation has ruined everything. So get ready for that tomorrow, everybody. Have a good weekend. CliffCentral.com